Blog Talk Radio.
We are on the air here Sunday, January 21st, 2018, with Wrestling Night in America on PWTorchLivecast.com. My name is Greg Parks, PW Torch columnist, and I will be here with you for the next 90 minutes or so going through some of the big events in wrestling that are coming up, and boy, howdy, do we have some big ones. Next Sunday night, the Royal Rumble, one of the most anticipated WWE pay-per-views of the year, and of course, on pay-per-view nights, we here at Wrestling Night in America accommodate you. So we will be going on the air that night. As soon as the Royal Rumble goes off the air, we'll be taking your calls, thoughts on the Royal Rumble pay-per-view right here at 515-605-9345, the number to call tonight and next week for the Royal Rumble post-show Wrestling Night in America. Of course, Saturday night, we've got the NXT TakeOver Philadelphia show. And coming by later this evening at the bottom of the hour, in fact, will be Pro Wrestling Torch NXT recapper Justin James, who will join us to discuss that NXT TakeOver show, as well as some other NXT news items and television reviews and things of that nature. We're taking your questions on Twitter as well. At Greg M. Parks is where you can find me. Tweet questions throughout the show. We will answer here live on the air. And of course, tomorrow night, Monday Night Raw, from not only the Manhattan Center, but the Barclays Center, both in New York City, Raw 25, the 25th anniversary of Monday Night Raw, and there are a lot of guests scheduled for that one, and I'm sure we will get some surprises as well. Juggling all that with the final hype on Raw for the Royal Rumble, which will be the following Sunday. So a lot going on a very busy Monday night tomorrow night, but a lot going on here tonight on Wrestling Night in America. 515-605-9345 is the number to call to join the discussion. If you've got questions about NXT TakeOver or NXT in general, we'll be talking with Justin James in about a half hour. He'll join us here to talk NXT. But I want to start out with discussing the Royal Rumble and previewing that event. You know, we've got 16 men that have been announced so far for the Royal Rumble. 12, excuse me, I can't read my notes. 12 men so far have been entered into the Royal Rumble. Of course, 30 is the number we're looking for. And 30 with the women. 18 so far have been entered there. This past week, the Wrestling Observer reported that 9 women from NXT were scheduled to take place in the Women's Royal Rumble. Now, that severely limits the number of women from the past who will be invited back. That number will be much smaller if, in fact, they do go with 9 women from NXT. I'm of a couple minds on this. You don't want to introduce too many women from NXT into the Rumble. They tend to get lost in the shuffle. It's hard to do them all justice because you don't want to throw somebody in there who's just going to be thrown over the top rope and have that be their first appearance on WWE main roster television. So those are, to me, the spot that you'd want to use someone from the past where you're not necessarily hurting their future by debuting them in such a fashion. So we'll see if that comes to fruition, that number. We also have in title matches, Brock Lesnar versus Braun Strowman versus Kane and AJ Styles versus Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens in a handicap match. The triple threat matches for the Raw Universal Championship, Styles versus Owens and Zayn for the WWE Championship. Cedric Alexander versus Enzo is for the Cruiserweight title. We also have both tag team titles on the line at the Royal Rumble. Seth Rollins and Jason Jordan taking on the Bar, and the Usos defending their titles against Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin. So I think both title matches have been built up pretty well. Both should be pretty good matches from a quality standpoint. One match that was at one time scheduled for the Royal Rumble was the finals of the United States Championship Tournament, which instead took place this past week on SmackDown in which Bobby Roode defeated Jinder Mahal to win the United States Championship. That was the predicted finals of that tournament by a lot of people from very early on when the brackets were released, and that was the final we got. Roode winning over Mahal. You know, to me, when I was watching that match, and I even tweeted this out, I could really have made an argument for both guys winning. I think Roode and Mahal both could have used a United States title run, a secondary title run. Roode didn't exactly get off to as hot a start as many would have hoped, being paired with Dolph Ziggler. And Jinder Mahal, of course, coming off his WWE Championship run, how far does he fall is the question. And I think the United States title would have been a good rebound for Mahal if WWE had any intention of keeping him towards the top of the card, keeping him relevant, I guess, is a better word to use. But keeping in mind that Dolph Ziggler will likely come back at some point and stake a claim to the United States title, whether it's at the Royal Rumble or somewhere else down the line, it does make sense for the babyface Roode, who has a history with Dolph Ziggler, to win the championship and likely have to defend it against Ziggler at some point. So those are the matches that have been announced for the Rumble. I would anticipate getting a number of men being announced on Raw and SmackDown. Usually we go into the Rumble the last few years with anywhere from 25 to 27 names announced. There's a little wiggle room for maybe undercard guys who are not big enough names to have announced it on television to show up, or surprises, which have become a fun part of the Rumble match in recent years. So I would look for that to happen this week on television. I had a Twitter question earlier today about the Rumble, and it's from Jeremy Kilby. And he asked, after The Sun released that article this week about Daniel Bryan possibly winning the Royal Rumble, do you think there's any chance this happens? And if so, do you think he takes any bumps en route to winning or enters at 30 and takes no bumps? If Daniel Bryan is cleared to appear in the Royal Rumble and is booked to win it, remember that the winner of the Royal Rumble goes on to face a champion of his choosing at WrestleMania. So taking no bumps in the Rumble doesn't really help, because if Bryan wins, he's going to have to take bumps in that title match at WrestleMania anyway. So there's no reason in my mind to hold him from taking bumps in the Rumble. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's highly unlikely, I think, that Daniel Bryan is entered into the Royal Rumble, let alone wins it. Certainly the Philadelphia crowd would lose its top if that happened. The top of the arena might blow straight off if Daniel Bryan entered and won the Royal Rumble, given what Rumble finishes we've had in the past, specifically in Philadelphia. But, you know, I guess it's a talking point because he's so involved with the WWE title storyline on SmackDown. He's involved with this storyline with Shane McMahon, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, AJ Styles. And, you know, having followed wrestling for as long as I have, and I know people who have followed it for longer, are kind of looking at this and saying, well, if this were any other wrestler, any other general manager, I guess you could say, you would assume that this is leading to a match, whether it's Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon teaming up to take on Owens and Zayn, whether it's Daniel Bryan taking on Shane McMahon in a match in some ultimate power struggle on SmackDown, kind of the direction you would assume that storyline is going. But knowing Daniel Bryan, to our knowledge, has not been cleared to compete yet, you kind of wonder, where exactly is this storyline going? And I think it's intrigued a lot of people, and it's rightfully or wrongly given people a lot of hope that Daniel Bryan at some point will be cleared for in-ring competition by WWE. His contract is set to expire somewhere around the area of September later this year, so the window for WWE to decide whether or not to clear him is closing. And at some point, they're probably going to have to make an ultimate decision. Obviously, he's not been cleared by WWE doctors yet, but I don't think they've ever said, no, we're never going to clear you again. And I think that's kind of the hope that Brian is holding out for. I feel, though, that it worries me when Daniel Bryan talks about going to, or you know, you hear rumors about Daniel Bryan going to New Japan or doing some of the harder hitting independent shows against some very hard hitting opponents. The WWE style has gotten to the point where it is, in general, safer than a lot of the other styles that are out there on the indies or in Japan. So just from a concerned fan's point of view, if he is going to wrestle at some point in his life, I would prefer it's in WWE, because I feel like, you know, there is a better medical staff there than probably any other wrestling organization out there. And it's not perfect by any means, but I think especially someone they're going to watch closely is Daniel Bryan. You know, they're going to watch him closely if they were ever to clear him. And it's a safer style. And I would prefer Daniel Bryan. I think like a lot of his fans, they like him as a wrestler, but I think they like him just as much, if not more, as a person. And they see him with his wife and his child, and they want him to have a life where he can experience everything as a father and everything as a husband that he would want to. And, suffering a serious injury in the ring is not something people want to see with him. They don't want to see him wrestle a style that puts him at higher risk for that. It's all really speculation at this point. If Daniel Bryan is entered in the Royal Rumble, I would expect him to be a surprise just because of the reaction the fans would give. I would expect that he would have to take some bumps. I don't think you don't want to put him in bubble wrap for the Rumble and then, you know, put him out there in a WrestleMania title match against AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan in a title match at WrestleMania. I don't know how you would get there storyline wise, but that's just the thought that popped into my head with Styles as champion. So, that's out there as a possibility. A long shot in my mind, granted, but that's what we're talking for the Rumble. So those matches have been announced thus far. We'll get the final hype this week on Raw, very big episode of Raw, and SmackDown on Tuesday night. So, I think it's my personal favorite pay-per-view of the year, the Royal Rumble. Nothing matches the majesty and the pageantry of WrestleMania, certainly. But the Rumble match is something that I look forward to every year. And it looks like, the lineup, the undercard matches should be really good. I'm hoping Cedric Alexander is able to pull out a win over Enzo. I think, he is a guy, and I wrote about this last week in the Torch newsletter. I have a column each week in the Torch newsletter. If you're a subscriber, check it out. I wrote about the cruiserweights and the kind of future we can look at with the cruiserweights when you have guys like Austin Aries and Neville who, want out or are released because creative has nothing for them or whatever the case may be. These are the two top stars in the cruiserweight division. And now you look at a guy like Hideo Itami, you look at a guy like Cedric Alexander, guys who do have a lot of potential, but there is a ceiling in the cruiserweight division. And at one point, does a Cedric Alexander go to himself, I've built up a lot of credibility here by being in the WWE. I'm seen by more people than has ever seen me before. I had a very good track record on the independent scene before I got to WWE. I've been cruiserweight champion. I can use that to my advantage. At one point, do they say, hey, I've done what I can here. I know there's a limit to my potential because I'm in the cruiserweight division. And, let me go on the independents where I can conceivably make as much, if not more money. There are guys like Cedric Alexander that may decide that in WWE. And that's unfortunate because I think the cruiserweight division, of course, could be a lot better than it is. I don't think that's a hot take by myself. So we're going to come back after this break with more. We're going to talk Raw 25. We're going to take your phone calls at 515-605-9345. Take your tweets as well at Greg M. Parks. This is Wrestling Night in America. We'll be right back.
Do you love wrestling? Come see Ring Rust Radio Live, The Ring Rust Radio Royal Rumble live show will take place on January 28th from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time at Lorraine Bar, 1502 Brown Street, Philadelphia, PA 19130. The show will star Donald Wood of Ring Rust Radio, Vaughn Johnson from the Straight Shooters podcast, Joe Archidiacono from the Sal B Plus podcast at Wednesday Wrestling Minutes. Several other surprise appearances will also take place. Tickets are only $5 and available at patreon.com/ringrustradio or on PayPal, ringrustradio@gmail.com. Once again, don't forget Ring Rust Radio live in Philadelphia, Sunday, January 28th at Lorraine Bar. And for those who drink, they will have $2 Kenzinger lagers and $3 well drinks. All you need to do before you go to the Rumble. Once again, Sunday, January 28th, Ring Rust Radio live in Philadelphia.
Absolution. Absolution.
So in the past few weeks, I've talked about Harry's shaving kits, Harry's blades. You know, if you're a guy like me, I've always used electric razors, and I've talked about this before. If you're ever thinking about going to blades, razors, Harry's is the company you want to go with, okay? What I love most about Harry's is I can shave. I shaved earlier today. I'm not going to have to shave again until Wednesday. With the electric razor, I had to shave every day. I was growing that 5 o'clock shadow in by 4 p.m. And let me tell you, using Harry's, I save time in the mornings before I go to work. I'm a guy who likes his sleep. So if I can find any excuse to get an extra 2 or 3 minutes in bed under those covers, you're going to bet I'm going to take it. That's one of the things, one of the many things that I really enjoy about Harry's and the Harry's products. Harry's is all about a great shave at a fair price, which is why over 3 million guys have switched to Harry's. Jeff and Andy, two ordinary guys, were fed up with getting charged an arm and a leg for razor blades. They started Harry's to fix shaving. Harry's stripped out the unnecessary features, the vibrating handles, the heating blades, the 15 lubricating strips, all that stuff, and the unnecessary cost to deliver to you, the customer. One perfect razor at an amazing price. A good shave comes down to good blades. Because Harry's owns the factory, they're able to deliver amazing quality blades for just $2 a blade compared to the $4 or more you would pay at the drugstore. And all products are backed by a 100% quality guarantee. This is a special offer for listeners. Harry's is so confident you're going to love their blades, they'll give you their trial shave set for free when you sign up at harrys.com/pwtorch. All you do is pay for shipping. Claim your free trial offer from Harry's today. It's a $13 value for free. When you sign up, all you do is cover shipping, a couple bucks. Your free trial set includes a weighted ergonomic razor handle, 5 precision-engineered blades with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, and boy, do I love that shave gel, and a travel blade cover. To get your free trial set, go to harrys.com/pwtorch right now. That's harrys.com/PW Torch. And we're back here on PW Torch Livecast, Wrestling Night in America for January 21st, 2018. I am PW Torch columnist Greg Parks. Later in the hour, I will be joined by PWTorch.com NXT recapper and co-host on the PWT Talks NXT Livecast, Justin James. He will be along to talk NXT Philadelphia coming up this Saturday night. Right now, let's go to the phones. We have a call from the 615 area code. 615, you're on Wrestling Night in America. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, Greg, this is Kitty from Gallatin, Tennessee. It's been a while since I called in the show, and I see that there's been some changes. Obviously, Pat McNeil's no longer on the show. Kind of sad to see that, but despite all the changes, I'm glad to see the show still going on the air. Sounds pretty good. I'm real excited about the Royal Rumble on Sunday, and I want to give a shout-out to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Even though they did not win today, I thought they played really, really good against the Patriots. Give them a run for their money.
Well, I appreciate that, Kenny. You know, I'm someone who, you know, the past 10 years has just been awful. So making the playoffs was just was what I was looking for this year. Anything else after that was sort of playing with house money, the win over Buffalo, the win over Pittsburgh, to get to the championship game. And this team, you know, this team had a lot of flaws, especially offensively. So to not only get to the AFC championship game, but to give New England the challenge in Foxborough that they did today, I think was amazing. And, you know, I could be mad, I could be upset at whatever happened in that game, but to play New England as tough as they did, you know, tremendous job by Jacksonville. I'm excited to see what they do in the offseason to improve that offense, and you know, they're going to be AFC South, probably the pick to win the AFC South next year. So, really excited. I appreciate you mentioning that, and you know, we'll see what the offseason has to offer.
Yes, indeed. But of course, this is a wrestling show, so I'll stay on topic and talk about tomorrow. Tomorrow, you know, you talk about how big the Royal Rumble is. I am pumped for the 25th anniversary edition of Monday Night Raw. So much of both what's happening on the show now and the past together in a three-hour show. This is actually a case where you want the show to be 3 hours because of what they're planning to do as far as, you know, bring back Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler together. And it's just, along with many other great stars such as Shawn Michaels, DX, and so forth, and my personal favorite, Bruce Pritchard and Brother Love. I'm looking forward to that. But realistically, I talk about as far as the current state of Raw, or as I like to call it, the brand extension 2.0 era, without question to me, the biggest superstar, the biggest player on Raw is Braun Strowman. I mean, just the crowd reaction, his matches being even as short as they are sometimes, and maybe in a lot of ways a little bit predictable, he is just oozing with real natural charisma when he comes out in the ring. And it's not, you know, how we all feel about Roman Reigns. We do not feel that way with Braun Strowman. But I guess my question really is, since we're getting close to a Royal Rumble, do you think he is one of those guys that is just so over that is he just better off not being a world champion, or in it, whether it be on Raw or SmackDown? Do you think he's just better off staying where he is, continuing to get the big pops he is, beating up the certain type of wrestlers that can work well with him, like a Kane or a Roman Reigns? Is he one of those guys that's like a Roddy Piper, that's, or Jake Roberts, that's just so over, he doesn't need a championship to prove how over he is?
You know, I think there's that argument to be made. And certainly he's done well up to this point without being champion. So you could say that he doesn't need the title. He hasn't needed the title in this rise, but there's always the argument that if you are truly the top guy on the brand, you should be champion, right? That was the argument with guys like Brock Lesnar when they would come back and they would dominate. And it's like, well, you know, you've got the champion, but Brock Lesnar is clearly the top guy. Why isn't he champion? So you would have to certainly address those questions, and it could be something as simple as, hey, you know, Braun Strowman just enjoys destroying people. He doesn't care necessarily about titles. So you could use that. The top of the Raw card is so top-heavy that you can get away with Braun Strowman not being champion for a while, depending on what happens with Lesnar in the next year or so, or the next few months, actually. You know, you've got Lesnar, you've got Strowman, you've got Roman Reigns, you've got John Cena, who's going to be there on and off, maybe not long enough to hold the title, but maybe then again he will be, depending on what happens with the draft lottery. If they do it again after WrestleMania, that could move some SmackDown guys over. So, you know, I think Braun Strowman as champion would be a lot of fun, and I think it would add another dimension to his character, but I don't think he needs it right now. I don't think he needs to win on Sunday at the Royal Rumble. I think he can go a little longer at his current pace without really needing to be champion, or without the championship needing him.
Oh, I agree, too. I think that, you know, to me, he is better off not being the champion for now, but it's just that my feeling is that the way he's getting the reaction from the crowd just shows to me that he realistically, it doesn't even matter at this point. He's just, he is where he's at. And he's among, I feel like, one of the top superstars in WWE right now. And kind of coinciding a little bit with the Royal Rumble, you mentioned the Daniel Bryan and, you know, the Royal Rumble. And I've heard all those rumors too, to the extent, if he isn't medically cleared, it could still happen somewhere down the road. They may pull like some sort of scenario where, you know, we've seen this before, like with Vince McMahon, where he won the Royal Rumble and then he would give up the right to face whoever at WrestleMania per se, but I still think we could potentially see a scenario for a Daniel Bryan, AJ Styles match. And if that was to happen, like let's say if he was cleared, not so much for WrestleMania, but for SummerSlam, do you think that the Styles of being kind of different, you know, I always looked at Styles as being somewhat of a high-flying type of wrestler, although he's kind of grounded himself over the last 7 years or so. Do you think that it's possible that Styles would have to maybe adjust to Bryan, or Bryan would have to adjust to Styles if the two were ever to face off in the ring?
Well, I think it's important to note that we don't know what to expect out of Daniel Bryan if he were ever cleared to wrestle. So we're just purely speculating at this point. Is Daniel Bryan going to come back and try to wrestle the same way he wrestled before? Is he going to come back and, you know, modify his offense, his wrestling style, to fit tech to an injury? I think that AJ is a safe enough wrestler, and AJ and Daniel Bryan are both smart enough wrestlers to where neither would really have to adjust to the other. I think if Daniel Bryan comes back and wrestles his old style and AJ Styles wrestles the style he's currently wrestling, and you're right, Kenny, you know, AJ was once a high flyer, a big part of the X division in TNA, but he's really modified his style when he went over to Japan and then coming over to WWE. He's a lot more ground-based. Now, he does do the flying moves every once in a while, the high-impact moves, but nothing to where I look at him and I say, you know, I think he's going to need to change if he wrestles Daniel Bryan. Now, do I think he probably should do a Styles clash against Daniel Bryan? No. Let's keep that one in the back pocket. But as far as any kind of wholesale changes or noticeable changes, I don't think that would be necessary.
Yeah, true. I mean, I hope we don't really see a Styles clash scenario with Daniel Bryan, but you know, still, it would be an intriguing matchup per se to see those two wrestle, because I always felt that back when 10 years ago that was sort of a dream match scenario. And I don't know if they actually, you may know this for a fact, had they ever wrestled when they were in Ring of Honor together?
I'm not sure. That goes a little beyond my Ring of Honor knowledge. I would assume that at some point they would have had to cross paths somewhere, whether it was in Ring of Honor or whether it was another independent wrestling show. I just did a cursory Google search and I'm seeing, Smart Mark Video has a matchup that's a free match. Bryan Danielson against AJ Styles looks like it's in front of maybe 50 people. There's also, it looks like it is on Ring of Honor, Ring of Honor title match, Bryan Danielson versus AJ Styles. So, they've wrestled before. And in fact, I'll click the link here and look on cagematch.net, which if you don't know about cagematch.net, it's a great search type for all kinds of wrestling matches. And, yeah, it was from 2003 in Ring of Honor that they battled.
Yeah, I don't know if they would even acknowledge that if the two were to ever wrestle, because you know how sketchy they are on scenarios
right, like
that. You know, they hardly ever – it's like if you ever mention TNA, it's like, well, what is this TNA type of deal? That's just how it's always been with WWE. But anyway,
sure.
I'll let you guys get on with the show. And I will want to point out that I do have my favorite Raw moment was obviously for me was I got to go to see Raw live a couple of times, you know, from the Nashville area. I live in around the Nashville area. And I saw one, you know, the one in 1998, the week after the proposed, McMahon Austin fight and Mick Foley, he came out and corporate and had the ponytail. And it was just, I love that one. But for me, the one that I have the most fondest memory of was the one in 2005. I think it may have been Labor Day weekend, 2005. And, you know, this was during obviously the time when John Cena had just came over to Raw, and you still had Ric Flair and Carlito for the Intercontinental Championship. Carlito was the champion. Flair would, of course, go on to win it a few weeks later, and then you had the Matt Hardy and Edge. To me, that was my favorite Raw moment, just to go and see it live in person. And I forgot what the actual show that closed the show was. I know it was a tag match with Cena against the Big Show. I mean, I'll have to probably look up historyofwwe.com if you want to go back and look at that. But that was my favorite Raw moment, per se, of all the 25 years of Raw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. I've been to a lot of not so good Raw shows live, so it would be hard for me to pick out my favorite live moment. But you know, when you're talking 25 years of Raw, and we get on Monday Night Raw, especially because it's 3 hours long and it's a slog to get through sometimes. And sometimes we're, you know, and I say we, the fans, are kind of overly negative about it. But when you look back at the last 25 years, there's been some incredible Raw moments that have been just really exciting. And there's some that I still go back on YouTube and watch. You know, I still go back sometimes and I watch Brock Lesnar's return after WrestleMania when John Cena was in the ring and they brawled. You know, it's moments like that that I'll go back and watch that are really cool. Obviously, Chris Jericho's debut is a big one for a lot of people. We're going to see a lot of Raw moments tomorrow night that are replayed from the past, and maybe we'll see a new Raw moment tomorrow night. So, Kenny, thanks for calling in. Good to talk to you as usual.
All right, and you have a good rest of the night, and go Vikings, but right now it's not looking too good, I have to say, for that moment.
Well, I guess it's a good thing then that I don't have access to a TV right now as I'm doing this, so I'll have to catch that when I'm done here. But we are far from done here because when we return, we'll start talking NXT TakeOver Philadelphia. We'll hit on more on the Raw 25 special, and we'll be joined by NXT recapper Justin James coming up soon after this break. Stay with us. You're listening to Wrestling Night in America here on PWTorchLivecast.com.
We know you're a pro wrestling fan, but you might like MMA too. And if so, check out our sister site, MMATorch.com, with live fight event coverage, including UFC pay-per-views, previews of all UFC and Bellator events, the daily news digest, exclusive columns, flashbacks, and much more. Check it out. If you're a fan of MMA, you'll be a fan of MMATorch.com.
Back here on Wrestling Night in America on PWTorch.com, I am Pro Wrestling Torch columnist Greg Parks, your host on this Sunday evening. And as our last caller, Kenny, mentioned, if you are used to hearing Pat McNeil and I on this show, you're only hearing me. Last week was my first show going solo without Pat. Pat's work schedule has been changed, and he is unable to join us, unfortunately, on Wrestling Night in America. But you can, of course, see him on Twitter at RealPatMcNeil. You can catch him and his audio show that he does with Jim Valley as well, Wayback Playback, which another show was posted earlier today on PWTorch.com. So there's plenty of Pat McNeil to go around, even if, unfortunately, he can't join us here on Wrestling Night in America. So the number to call if you want to join us on Wrestling Night in America is 515-605-9345. I want to touch on Raw 25 before I go back to the phones here. Raw 25, just looking at this list of wrestlers who have been announced by WWE as coming back on Raw 25, Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Undertaker, Shawn Michaels, Triple H, Ric Flair, Chris Jericho, Trish Stratus, Jim Ross, Jerry Lawler, Torrey Wilson, Scott Hall, the Bella Twins, Eric Bischoff, the New Age Outlaws, Christian, Jacqueline, the Dudley Boys, JBL, Maria Kanellis, the Godfather, the Brooklyn Brawler, Kelly Kelly, Teddy Long, Ron Simmons, Ted DiBiase, Michelle McCool, Brother Love, Terry Runnels, John Laurinaitis, Sergeant Slaughter, the Boogeyman. That is quite the thing list there. And I'm sure there will probably be wrestlers who are surprises and won't be announced ahead of time, but that's what's scheduled. We also have Roman Reigns versus The Miz. There's actual matches that will take place this Monday night, not just appearances from wrestlers from the past, but Roman Reigns versus The Miz for the Intercontinental Championship. That match will take place tomorrow night on Raw. John Cena and the SmackDown Live crew have been advertised. They are expected to be in attendance in some form or fashion for the 25th anniversary of Monday Night Raw 2. So Raws don't get a lot bigger than that. I remember, and I mentioned this on Twitter earlier in the week, I remember the 10th anniversary special of Monday Night Raw, and how much of a letdown and how much of a disappointment that was when WWE had made it out to be some big event and wrestlers from the past coming back, and they weren't specific, and it didn't turn out to be anything like that at all. So WWE has done these anniversary episodes of Raw. The 1,000th episode of Raw was a really good one. There's some really fun cameos in that, and I'm sure Raw 25 will be something that you don't want to miss. If you are a current or former wrestling fan, you'll want to tune in. So that is Monday night on Raw. Right now, let's go back to the phones. We have a call from the 814 area code, 814. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
Ryan, welcome back to the show. How are you tonight?
Good. First question I got for you is I attended a WWE show last night, and what surprised me was the ticket price was the same price I paid for an NXT show I went to in similar seating. So do you know why the NXT and WWE house show tickets are about the same price, even though the NXT guys get paid far less than the WWE wrestlers?
I'm assuming there are a lot of variables that go into ticket pricing, ones that I am not privy to. Did you say they were in the about the same section?
Yeah, very similar section and also very similar area, too. As one was in State College, Pennsylvania, and one was in Altoona, Pennsylvania, so very similar geography.
Okay. What about arena sizes? Were they similar at all, or
WWE
the NXT arena that they ran small?
The WWE show was about 5 or 6 times bigger arena, and you know the parking was more expensive and the food was more expensive.
Yeah.
But the ticket price was the same.
Well, I'm thinking with the NXT runs fewer shows outside of the Florida Loop than WWE. It's running a smaller arena. There might be a little bigger demand for NXT because of the smaller arena, because of, you know, they haven't gone through that city before, or if they've done it maybe once or twice, whereas WWE, a lot of the arenas they run, they're yearly. You know, they come once a year, if not more. So NXT being probably a little hotter brand to a certain segment of the audience, I think all of those variables might play a role in why ticket prices were very similar.
Okay. And my second question for you is on the Raw 25 show. Do you think any of the Nostalgia Divas will throw their name into the Rumble and announce that they're going to be in the Rumble, or do you think they'll say that as a surprise at the pay-per-view?
You know, I'm looking at the list of women who have been announced for Raw 25. Tori Wilson, Terry Runnels, Trish Stratus, Michelle McCool. You know, they could certainly announce one on Raw just to kind of whet the appetite of the fans who are waiting for wrestlers to come back from the past for that Women's Royal Rumble. Terry and Tori were never major wrestlers as far as the women goes, so I can't imagine them being in the Women's Royal Rumble. Michelle McCool, I could. Trish Stratus is one that, you know, is a big enough name where you would want her associated in some fashion with the Women's Royal Rumble because she was such a big part, you know, main eventing Raw with Lita. You know, she worked so hard to go from a fitness model to one of the top American women's wrestlers at the time. So she's almost too big of a name to just be a cameo in the Women's Royal Rumble and eventually get eliminated because obviously she's not winning it. But on the other hand, it would be nice for some of these bigger names who paved the way to be involved in the Rumble or at least in something to do with it, maybe even on commentary. I know they've got Beth Phoenix on commentary for the Mixed Match Challenge. I think it would be nice to have a woman on commentary joining the commentary team for the Women's Royal Rumble, and maybe she would do something like that.
Okay. And a final question for you is on Raw 25, do you think we'll see any of the nostalgia acts actually wrestle, say, like the Brooklyn Brawl, or do like a match since he wrestles a lot on the independent circuit still?
I could see Brooklyn Brawler getting fed to Braun Strowman. How does that sound?
Okay. I guess as long as the brawler's up.
I'm sure he can take whatever bumps they have in mind. You know, a lot of the wrestlers on here probably are not going to wrestle. I think it would be cool if you brought some guys back who could wrestle. Austin's not wrestling. Taker's not wrestling. HBK, Triple H. Flair's not wrestling. Jericho is a name that stands out. I don't think he's going to wrestle, but a lot of these guys probably just appearances, although it would be cool to have, you know, with the Manhattan Center as the backdrop, have some nostalgia matches or wrestlers from the past wrestling in those matches have more of the current wrestlers, the Reigns versus Miz match, for example, at the Barclays Center. So that's part of the intrigue though, Ryan, isn't it? Is not knowing what exactly is going to happen, not knowing what role a lot of these names are going to play, not knowing how this two arena setup is going to work because it just, you know, WWE has not done it before this way. So just really interesting to see tomorrow night what's going to happen. And I'm sure you're going to tune in and I know I'm going to tune in to see it.
Yeah, we even saw Sid Vicious wrestle a couple years ago, and we never thought we'd see that happen.
No, I know. That was a surprise. I popped for that, I got to say. I'm pointed myself to say that because Sid is not the most popular wrestler, and I'm not supposed to like him as an ardent analyst of the business. You know, and you look at all the metrics that Sid is – Not a great wrestler, not a great draw, all that kind of stuff that's supposed to work against him in the eyes of me. And, you know, yet here we are, and I like him for some reason.
Well, Dave Meltzer did give him a 5-star match once for War Games, but he had 9 other guys to work with.
Yeah, I'm sure if he was to split that and give star ratings for each individual wrestler, Sid probably would have come out on the lower end of that.
Okay, thanks for taking my call.
Sure, Ryan. Thanks for calling. So that will do for Ryan. Always good to talk to him. Their phone lines are open for you. 515-605-9345 is the number to call if you want to talk Raw 25, if you want to talk Royal Rumble, if you want to talk NXT TakeOver Philadelphia, because that's coming up. We also have later on in the show some talk about Impact. Some talk about some independent shows going on this week and yesterday. That's things we will get to within the next 45 minutes or so of this show. And, of course, as I said, you can tweet at me at Greg M. Parks. Follow me there. I will usually tweet during Raw, during SmackDown, certainly during pay-per-views. This week might be a little sketchy. My parents are in town, so I have to spend some quality time with the family. But I am here tonight to talk to you about all of the big events that are happening in wrestling. So hold on tight. We'll be back with more here on the Pro Wrestling Torch livecast, Wrestling Night in America.
Rich Van, formerly of the Primetime Friday livecast with Bruce Mitchell here. I want to tell you about my new show, The Deep Dive with Rich Van. On Saturdays at 6 p.m. Eastern weekly, join us as we dive into a single subject, some weeks as serious as race, gender, and stereotyping in wrestling, to as fun as which IC champs could fit into another era, and anything in between. We'll have guests from inside and outside the Torch family to cover the subject of the week, and of course your calls and emails. Prior to each episode, I'll put out on social media the subject and some notes, places where you can also bone up on the subject of the week if you're so inclined. I'll also devote shows to two of my favorite international promotions, New Japan Pro Wrestling and Progress. All are welcome. No secret handshakes here because Saturday nights on the livecast are officially all right for diving.
Back here on Wrestling Night in America on PWTorchLivecast.com for January 21st, 2018. And we talked to Royal Rumble a little earlier. We took calls on Raw 25. The phone lines are open and available. 515-605-9345 is the number to get a hold of us here on the live cast. Want to talk a little bit about Impact Wrestling now, as we've got actually a rare Impact Wrestling pay-per-view scheduled for this quarter of the 2018 year, we've gotten to the point where it was only Bound for Glory or Slammiversary that we were looking forward to. However, Impact has listed Redemption as a pay-per-view scheduled for April 22nd. The main event has already been set based on the last set of tapings. I will refrain from giving you that match for spoiler purposes. I know that I try not to look at spoilers too far ahead of time, but sometimes they tape so much TV, and this goes for NXT too, sometimes they tape so much TV that I'll sit down and watch the show and I won't have remembered what the spoilers were unless they were like major debuts or returns or something like that. This past week on Impact, the Barbed Wire Massacre match was scheduled for airing on Impact, but Pop TV censors apparently said no to that. So the violence quotient was just not what they were looking for. Instead, the Barbed Wire Massacre match aired on Twitch on Thursday night. Due to concerns from Pop TV, LAX ended up coming out on the winning side of that one. We also had Eli Drake versus Johnny Impact versus Alberto El Patron from Border City Wrestling in Michigan. That was a no contest. So the feud between or among those three continues. Next week is the Genesis Impact. So as we've seen with Impact Wrestling in the past, they are branding the special episodes of Impact to make them special and to get mentioned on Wrestling Night in America, where we talk about big shows like Genesis. Lashley versus Moose is on the card for next week. EC3 versus Matt Sydal for the Grand Championship. Laurel Van Ness takes on Allie for the Knockouts Championship. Eli Drake versus Johnny Impact versus Alberto El Patron. Since that title match on Thursday at Border City Wrestling went to a no contest, this match will be fought inside of a steel cage for the Global Championship. So that is what is on tap for Impact this coming week. That's a loaded show. That's a loaded show. Lashley versus Moose, that continues the feud that, you know, with Lashley with his American Top Team and Moose, EC3 versus Matt Sydal for the Grand Championship. There's lots of rumors swirling about EC3, what the future holds for him, whether it's on the independent scene, whether it's on WWE as soon as this Sunday in the Royal Rumble. So, you can kind of read the tea leaves and figure out maybe the result of that match. Laurel Van Ness versus Allie getting that shot at the Knockouts title after she had felt that she had let Gail Kim down in previous weeks with some of her performances. And Eli Drake, Johnny Impact, Alberto El Patron, cage match for the global title. You know, when Eli Drake won the title, I didn't picture sitting here in January of 2018 talking about him still as the champion. It felt like he short-term title reign to kind of pop an audience on Pop TV. Didn't exactly work out that way. Drake, I don't think he's done anything wrong necessarily as champion, but, you know, this is who he is. And the championship, I don't think, has brought out anything in him that we hadn't already seen. So Johnny Impact is a guy who I could see is championship caliber. Alberto El Patron is a guy I could see them putting the championship on. So, you know, those are things to look at for next week. Big show, we'll talk about the results at some point. I don't know if we'll get to it next week. Next week's probably going to be very Royal Rumble heavy with the post show. In fact, I can almost guarantee it. So that we'll talk about Genesis maybe the week after if we don't get to it next week. But Impact really getting in gear in the coming weeks for that Redemption pay-per-view in April. So that is something to watch there. On the independent side of things, Shine 48 will be on WWNLive.com on January 26th. That is this coming Friday. Top matches on the show include Fiesta versus Brain for the Shine Championship and Leva versus Brandi Lauren. So Shine 48 on WWNLive.com. You can catch that, get you ready for the Women's Royal Rumble on Sunday. All In, set for 2018. That is the name that the Cody Rhodes Young Bucks 10,000-seat arena project will be going by in 2018. Some wrestlers on Twitter this week going all in and pronouncing themselves as part of that upcoming event. Obviously, Cody and the Bucks, Kenny Omega, will be involved. Stephen Amell from Arrow, the television show, he's done some work with Cody in WWE and in Ring of Honor. They're good friends, so he will be at the event in some capacity. And Marty Scurll, Adam Page will both be there. Obviously, probably a lot of Bullet Club influence in that show you can look forward to. So those are some of the bigger independent news of the week. We also had an ROH television taping in Nashville on Saturday night. Four episodes were taped for the syndicated ROH TV that goes out on Sinclair broadcast stations. Some of the matches, I won't give spoilers for these, but Cody Rhodes versus Matt Taven, Dalton Castle versus Punishment Martinez in an ROH title match was on the card. The Women of Honor title tournament matches took place on this show, and you had SoCal Uncensored versus the Young Bucks in six-man tag action. So that was those are some of the matches taped for that show. 515-605-9345, the number to call if you want to talk any of these big events that we're talking tonight: Royal Rumble, NXT TakeOver, Impact Wrestling, Raw 25. If you want to talk about SmackDown, if you want to talk about any of that, feel free to call in. Of course, my tweets are open at Greg M. Parks. Go ahead and tweet me any questions you may have. We'll get to TakeOver Philadelphia here, the lineup set for that show. We have one more episode of NXT television this coming week on Wednesday night on WWE Network. But the card, for the most part, is set for Saturday night, the night before the Royal Rumble pay-per-view event. Andrade Cien Almas defends the NXT championship against Johnny Gargano. Aleister Black against Adam Cole in an Extreme Rules match. Ember Moon versus Shayna Baszler in a women's title match. And the Undisputed Era versus the Authors of Pain. That is a tag title match. Set to be a good show. And, you know, this has been mentioned on Twitter. You know, we see that NXT TakeOvers almost always deliver. They almost always deliver more so than the WWE pay-per-view. And in the last, I would even say the last year, maybe aside from the WrestleMania weekend NXT TakeOver show, we kind of see that the hype is just sort of okay. And we always seem to be going into these NXT TakeOver shows saying to ourselves, man, you know, I'm not, you know, this looks like a good card, but I'm just not feeling it. I'm just not feeling like this is going to be a top show. And TakeOver almost always over-delivers our expectations over the last several TakeOver events. And I think this has a possibility of doing the exact same thing. Almas versus Gargano, I mean, that's going to be great, not only from a wrestling standpoint, but from a crowd reaction standpoint. This is going to be a match that I think, you know, the Philadelphia fans have an act for cheering the heels and doing the baby faces. I think Almas will get a lot of cheers. But I think Johnny Gargano is such a good babyface that I think he can even win over the Philadelphia crowd. I think the crowd is going to be on his side more so than Almas. And I'm really looking forward to that match, not only from an in-ring standpoint, but from a crowd reaction standpoint. Aleister Black versus Adam Cole, Extreme Rules. I expect that to be a really good one. Both guys, really good wrestlers. The Extreme Rules match, you're going to get probably the Undisputed Era interfering in that match. We'll see how extreme it's going to be in front of a Philadelphia crowd. They have a very high tolerance and high expectations for extreme matches, with it being the home of ECW for so long. So it'll be interesting to see what stops are pulled out in Aleister Black versus Adam Cole. Ember Moon versus Shayna Baszler for the women's title. I like the gimmick that Baszler had, where she just comes out and she just destroys these women and puts the chokehold on them, puts the sleeper on them, puts her submission on them. Going to the Performance Center and going into the ring and taking someone out, I thought that was a really cool way to build Shayna up as this dominant monster, even though she lost the finals of the Mae Young Classic to Kairi Sane. So that's a match that I think Kairi is going to have her eye on, because I think she's probably going to be next in line for a NXT Women's Championship match. Undisputed Era versus Authors of Pain for the tag titles. This one's going to be interesting because the Authors of Pain have been a team that people have surmised could be due for a call-up. There was speculation after Survivor Series that they may get called up to the main roster. There's speculation that after the Royal Rumble, they'll get called up to the main roster, or someone will get called up. So if the Undisputed Era wins here, that could be Authors of Pain, swan song. You've got War Machine making their debut at the Performance Center this past week, along with Ricochet and Candice LeRae, amongst others. So War Machine could certainly hop immediately into the NXT tag division and be a presence there. So we'll see. You know, this is an intriguing card. I think there's room for one other match or so to be on the card, to fit there. We'll see if there's an unannounced match, perhaps. But NXT, these takeover shows are best when they are tightly booked and they only have a few matches. They go two and a half hours, and they fly by. So if you haven't watched an NXT takeover show yet, I would highly recommend it. I know it's asking a lot to sit down on Saturday night and watch NXT takeover, then come back Sunday night and watch the Royal Rumble, and then listen to us on Wrestling Night in America right after the Rumble, dissecting the show as we do. But the takeover shows are almost always worth your time. I don't see this one as being any exception. A lot of times it's the undercard matches that really do it and that get people's motors running. I think, to me, Almas Gargano is the match that I'm most excited to see of those listed. Certainly Ember Moon versus Shayna Baszler. You wonder about the styles clash there a little bit. And, you know, Baszler has had, you know, her Mae Young Classic match with Sane, and the finals of that was a high-profile match. That was a pretty good match. But, you know, this is in a whole different level in front of a Philadelphia crowd on an NXT TakeOver show. So she's, you know, had very limited exposure on NXT in the ring, if at all. So this is going to be a tall task to ask of her. I think she's going to be up to it, but it will be interesting to see. And, of course, you can catch the PWT Talks NXT live cast on pwtorchlivecast.com. That is every week, and that is available where the NXT contributors to pwtorch.com, they talk about NXT each week on Wednesdays after that show airs on the WWE Network. So if you are a big NXT fan, someone who anticipating NXT TakeOver Philadelphia with bated breath, that's a show that you want to tune into and add to your live cast lineup. It's a new one, but it's a good one. So tune in to that. We're going to take a break. We're going to talk a little bit more about NXT, NXT TV. We're going to take a Twitter question related to NXT, and it relates to what I was just talking about with Shayna Baszler, actually. So don't you go anywhere. We'll be back with more Wrestling Night in America right after this.
Support what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast when you shop Amazon. Simply go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. We've simplified the page. There's a big Amazon logo. You click on it. It takes you right to Amazon's homepage. But because of that small detour, we get credit for your visit, and we get a commission on anything you buy on that shopping trip. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you very much for your support.
Back here on Wrestling Night in America on PWTorchLivecast.com. It is January 21st, 2018. We will be joined momentarily by Justin James, who will talk with us. So that will be in a moment. I do want to mention NXT. do want to mention some things with NXT. Sorry. TM61 videos this past week on NXT TV. That was, the route that NXT took with Roderick Strong that really got him over to the audience. That I think is important to talk about. Obviously, we've got some Candice LeRae, Ricochet, War Machine arriving at the Performance Center, and we've got other things to talk about. So at this time, I will bring on Justin James, NXT TV recapper on PWTorch.com, and one of the gentlemen who is on PWT Talks NXT on Wednesday nights. Justin, thanks for joining me tonight.
Not a problem, Greg. Glad to be with you, as always.
Yes, and we've been together in the past. We've done audio in the past on my former PW Torch VIP audio show Moonlighting with Greg Park. So I've talked to Justin a number of times about NXT and other things. So, Justin, I trust your opinion on NXT, and I want to talk a little bit about, in the previous segment, I talked about TakeOver Philadelphia, and I talked about how we look at takeovers now almost, and there's a sense of, yeah, it's a good card, but I'm just not feeling the hype for it. And then those cards always deliver. Do you get the sense looking at this card that it's the same way? Or has NXT done a better job, do you think, this time of getting people psyched and amped about this show?
You know, I was listening to what you were saying, Greg, a couple minutes ago, and I was just sitting there nodding along saying, yeah, that's exactly how it is. Every takeover, there's one or two matches where I say, I'm really looking forward to that. You know, the last takeover for me, it was Black versus Dream, where I said, I really want to see that. And that was mostly because I didn't think there'd be particularly good work rate. Turns out the work rate was outstanding. But it was just the way they had built that feud up. I said, you know, I really want to see how they do this. And it turned out that entire card was really good. But you're right, you know, usually on these takeovers, there's one or two matches where you say, I want to see that. And the rest of you say, you know, they're two talented hands. Let's see what they do. And usually you really get your socks knocked off. You know, I remember back you had DIY versus Authors of Pain, that match. And you said, I guess it'll be okay. It turned out it was an amazing match, you know, and these things happen on such a regular basis that I've come to expect that I'm going to be blown away by a match that on paper looks .
Is there a match you see at this takeover that you're looking forward to more than any of the others?
I'm looking forward to Black versus Cole, but not because I think this is such a tricky one. I'm not sure how closely you've been, if you've been really listening to everything I've been saying about Adam Cole. But to me, he's been such a disappointment given the hype. Adam Cole has, he's got that heel character that everybody cheers for, which immediately rubs me wrong. It's not his fault, but to me, I just see his character as being a catchphrase that people like chanting, and that is problematic in my opinion. But the other thing is that this is a guy who came into NXT with all this fanfare, all this hype. He'll say, "Oh, Adam Cole's in NXT," and I'm gonna be honest. ROH doesn't reach my market, or at least last time I checked, ROH doesn't reach my market. So I'm really not that familiar with Adam Cole's body of work. But what he has shown in NXT has been so underwhelming. His moveset is more limited than Roman Reigns on his initial debut. He's got, a super kick, he's got a punch, a clothesline, and an enziguri. And you're like, okay. I'm not seeing Adam Cole love. And so, he had the War Games match where, he spent most of the match not fighting. So what I'm really looking forward to seeing out of this match is, number one, how do they handle Black? Because in the last couple of weeks, we've seen them deliver Black televised losses, although he was pinned in a fatal four-way, which was stunning. We saw him pair up with Johnny Gargano, and that team lost. Roderick Strong. We saw him pair up with Roderick Strong. he's suddenly speaking words on microphones, which is out of character for him. So if he takes the loss here, I've got to feel that they're just kicking him up to main roster because they're just out of things to do with him, and it doesn't make sense for him to hold the title. And that would be a way to finally make Adam Cole look like a real threat, because Adam Cole's win-loss record is just atrocious for what he's trying to be. He's like in Chris Jericho territory. So,
well, let me ask you this about Adam Cole. Has putting Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish with him and creating this Undisputed Era, has that helped or hurt Cole in your eyes? Or, you know, if it's hurt, do you think he would have been better as just Adam Cole, the singles wrestler, and not being associated with the rest of the act?
I think it has helped Cole. I think it has hurt Fish and O'Reilly. I think it's helped Cole, okay, because Fish and O'Reilly get legitimate heel heat. You know, they are heels. They get true heel heat. They don't get go-away heat. They get legit heel heat. And so any heel heat on Cole is coming from Fish and O'Reilly. So I think that's beneficial for him. I think him as the leader of the group makes sense. He's a good talker. You know, it makes sense. You know, you see these promos that they've been cutting lately. He's carrying them. He's doing the work. They're enhancing it, but he's doing the work. And, you know, it's giving him an opportunity, a reason to be talking in a way that makes sense. So I think the association with Fish and O'Reilly definitely helped Cole. I think it's hurting Fish and O'Reilly.
Talking with NXT recapper on PWTorch.com, Justin James, here on Wrestling Night in America. And looking at this takeover card, Ember Moon versus Shayna Baszler. We had a Twitter question from and I want to go on Twitter to make sure I got the okay. Vincent Barnes was the one who tweeted this to me. Is Baszler the real deal? He thinks she sure seems like it. And I'll turn that question to you, Justin. We haven't seen a lot of Baszler yet. We saw her in the Mae Young Classic. As far as being on NXT television, we've seen her in attack mode. We haven't seen her in stretched out matches, you know, with people like Ember Moon that we're going to see Saturday at TakeOver. I guess my question is twofold. I'll ask Vincent's question. Is Baszler the real deal, do you think? And is this too soon for her to get a women's title opportunity against Ember Moon?
Is she the real deal? I will say yes. You know, we had a caller earlier talking about NXT house shows. And I was at a house show a few weeks ago, and I saw Baszler there. And, you know, that gave me an opportunity to see her, you know, up close, personal, you know, a couple feet away, in a longer form match. And she is real. She, you know, I'll say that she is what they tried doing with Sonya Deville. I'm not saying that Sonya Deville failed. I think Sonya Deville really succeeded in the last part of her run and really, really grew. But Baszler just has this thing to her where you say, wow, she is legit. Like Asuka had that, Paige had that. Where you don't look at it and say, you know, this is a woman's wrestler, or you think, you know, professional wrestling, it's a work. When you see Baszler, you say, no, this is a woman's wrestler. You forget that this is a work. She is legit. She doesn't do moves that look like professional wrestling moves, which, you know, she does legit moves, and you say, this is real. My kind of yardstick for success on these things is going to sound kind of silly, but my kids, right? Because my two older kids, I've got a 10-year-old and a 6-year-old. So when they buy into something, you know that they're winning. You know that WWE's got a hit on hands.
You've got a test audience right there with you.
Exactly. And when Baszler walked out at that house show, my 6-year-old daughter just looked at me and she says, I like her. And my daughter's one of those people who just always likes the killers, right? Like, I think my daughter would marry Lars Sullivan. And, you know, Baszler
just... You
better
watch
just,
out for her in
know,
the future then, if that's the case.
Yeah, well, maybe. He could be a real nice guy. But, you know, he just... Baszler just... I can't put enough praise on Baszler for what I've seen. Is it too... In the second part of the sandwich, is it too early for a title match? Storyline, No, because, you know, she set herself up. She did exactly what, you know, William Regal knew what she was doing. He even called her out on it. She basically told him to pound sand. And she baited Ember Moon into demanding a match. But the other thing, too, is who else would she fight? It's not like there's anybody else on this roster. And you know what? She can't even fight Peyton Royce. Maybe Nikki. You know, none of the women on the NXT roster right now have a winning record. They all have awful records. Even Ember Moon's record's pretty bad. In my mind, I think that this is not only the right time for Baszler to get the opportunity. I think this is the right time for Baszler to basically do for, you know, if you remember the Kevin Owens Sami Zayn story a couple years ago, Sami had been chasing that title forever, kept getting the injuries, kept coming back, missing the title shots. Finally got it, finally won. And then Kevin Owens just destroyed him 10 minutes later. And then they had their match and Kevin Owens won in a couple minutes through referee stoppage. Right. But, you know, and I think that the Ember Moon story is similar to Sami Zayn. You know, she had a number of chances against Asuka, couldn't make it happen. Finally had to come out on top after Asuka was out of the picture. And I think that, you know, this would be a good time for Baszler to just destroy Ember Moon, take the title off of her. And when I say destroy, have her win the match ref stoppage.
Oh, wow.
And then tell the story of Ember Moon. You know, you basically retell the Rocky III story of, you know, Ember, you know, the NXT women's roster right now is a bunch of chumps. And Baszler's the legit monster, and now Ember has to work that much harder to regain the title against, you know, Baszler. That's how I would book this if I were sitting in William Regal and Triple H and Matt Bloom's office.
Is there a risk of booking Baszler too similar to Asuka as far as dominance goes?
Yeah, that's a good question. They don't seem to mind rebooking, you know, her in the Sonya Deville spot. So, you know, could they book her as too dominant? Maybe, unless what they're looking to do is to pull, you know, Kairi Sane or maybe Candice LeRae and say, okay, you know, now that we've got this dominant champion, we can have 6 months of storylines where you guys chase the title. You, Ember Moon, you know, you and Ember Moon, all three of you can dance around Shayna Baszler for the next 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Before we go to break, I want to ask about Almas versus Gargano, because I talked about the crowd reaction to this one in Philadelphia, and I thought that Gargano is such a good babyface that he'll get a notoriously tough Philadelphia crowd behind him in this match. Where do you see the crowd landing on this one? Are they going to go with the charismatic, cocky heel Almas, who has the beautiful Zelina Vega as his second, or are they going to go with the hardworking underdog Johnny Gargano?
That's an outstanding question, and I think I've been to a couple Philly shows. You know, I went to the first NXT Takeover in Philadelphia, the first one they did outside Florida. And, you know, that gave me a good chance to evaluate what a Philadelphia NXT crowd is like. And I think that, you know, while Philly is one of those cities that just loves the cool heel, Almas is not a cool heel. He gets, you know, real heel heat. This is now the culmination of 6 months or whatever of him having this on-again, off-again feud with Gargano. Gargano is the kind of babyface that, you know, even the kind of the smart fans, the jaded fans, you know, those folks all love Gargano. You know, you go to a house show, you know, the person who's sitting there complaining, you know, behind me at my last house show is complaining about how, you know, NXT is an ROH. He loves Gargano. And, you know, this to me, you know, Gargano's a pure baby face. I don't think anybody could boo him. If they do, they're a horrible person. He deserves to be off the planet. And I'm not saying that because I'm a huge Gargano fan. I'm saying that because, like, Gargano's character, if you boo Gargano, you have to be a horrible person to boo Gargano's character. You know, Gargano's just such a great red meat baby face. You have to cheer him. Even in a town like Philadelphia, I think the fans are going to cheer him. And Almas is not, he's not a cool heel. He's not somebody who, you know, where you love his catchphrases. He's not somebody where you say, well, you know, but he's got this, you know, Zelina Vega, you know, brings real heat to him. I think he's got the heel act down pat where people are not going to be booing Almas. I think it's good booking.
We will be back with more with Justin James talking NXT. We'll talk about NXT television. We'll talk about which NXT women should be in the Rumble. And we'll talk about some newcomers to the Performance Center and take your calls. Right after this, you're listening to Wrestling Night in America here on PWTorch.com.
I'm Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter and former host here at PW Torch Livecast. If you're looking for my shows, they have moved as of July 2017. They're now called the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, available through Podcast One. Enter Wade Keller on your podcast app or iTunes and subscribe to the new Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, where I cover Raw and my first show of the week, SmackDown, with my second show of the week, and then the Flagship Edition with a co-host, and we cover a broad array of pro wrestling current events, and then I end the week with a weekly interview. That's the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, now at Podcast One. Subscribe today. Just search Wade Keller.
Back here on Wrestling Night in America on PWTorchLivecast.com, my name is Greg Parks, PW Torch columnist. I'm joined right now by NXT television recapper Justin James. He recaps NXT TV each week for PWTorch.com. We just got done talking about NXT TakeOver Philadelphia. And Justin, I want to mention the TM61 hype videos that we saw this week on NXT TV, and we'll see more of them next week. This was a team that came in with a lot of fanfare, really struggled to get over and get a foothold in the tag division. I liken these videos to Roderick Strong. Those videos helped Strong immensely, I thought, in getting over. Can these videos, and will they, do the same for TM61 when they return to full-time action?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and this was the exact comparison we made on the PWT Talks NXT podcast on Wednesdays. We said, you know, this is what TM61 needed in their previous run. You know, they in their previous run, the impression was, you know, these guys have some cool moves, some fun moves. Their matches seem a little bit overly choreographed, but I need something to get behind them other than, you know, hey, look, it's the two skinny guys. You don't even know they have an Australian accent before they had his video because they never really had any mic time. And I think that these, you know, who are TM61, you know, just like we had who is Roderick Strong, who are TM61? I think it's a great package. It put them over as fun and funny and enjoyable. They're goofballs. They're nerds. We have something to dig our teeth into and say, I like these guys, as opposed to just, I like their skill set. So that's fantastic. However, looking at Roderick Strong, what I've realized is that the videos are, they're a great start, but they can't replace, you know, quality booking. They can't replace, you know, doing the right things. And so to me, it's kind of like a stopgap measure is, you know, they did this with Roderick Strong and he said, you know, and it gave Roderick Strong this huge boost, but it's slowly wearing off. It's like when you're in a video game, right? And you take a booster to increase your strength or whatever for 30 seconds, and then it starts to wear off. And we've seen that with Roderick Strong. He got this big boost. Since then, he floundered in the ring, you know, in terms of wins, losses. His character has not really evolved. He hasn't had much mic time. The mic time he has had has not really blown anyone's socks off. And so now you're starting to see, you know, you come back to that Roderick Strong before you had that video. And so TM61 has to take this opportunity and just capitalize. And they have to say, okay, you've got the video packages. They're making us look huge. And, you know, they're giving us, you know, a total of 10 minutes of package time, if not more, if they decide to, you know, if they decide to go three or four parts. You know, but we know for a guarantee that we had last week and now this week, that's only 10 minutes of package time. They've got to take that ball. They've just been handed. They've got to run. They've got to make the touchdown. And NXT is giving them every opportunity right now to make that happen.
turning our attention to the Women's Royal Rumble match, as I mentioned at the outset of the show, the Wrestling Observer reported that 9 NXT women would be in the Women's Royal Rumble match. My question to you, Justin, is someone who covers NXT weekly, can you make a case for 9 women being in the Rumble match, and which 9 women would that be?
9 women feels an awful lot like the entire NXT roster of women.
That does seem like a lot. And there, you know, there there are some women who they had for the Mae Young Classic who really aren't being used. You know, Bianca Belair is someone who would really impress in that environment, but she's not. She's not a weekly character quite yet on NXT TV. So they do have some names that are not weekly television presences who they could use in that match.
Yeah, I mean, you've got Nikki Cross, Peyton Royce, Billie Kay, Ember Moon, Shayna Baszler, Kairi Sane. That's 6, and I think, you know, now you're down to the Bianca Belair. They have a lady, starts with there's a V in her name. Vanessa Bourne. Yep, that's 8. Maybe Mercedes Martinez. You know, they liked her enough. I don't know if she's a full-time signing yet, but they gave her, you know, they actually gave her a promo, you know, a little backstage segment. The NXT women's roster is so thin. It's a perfectly fine size for NXT TV, but to pull 9 people off that roster and put them into the Rumble, that's really stretching, you know, limits of credibility and saying these 9 women are on the NXT roster, because if they are, they're on the, you know, at least 2 or 3 of them are going to be part timers or no timers.
Do you think that's too many to use? I find my thinking is there's got to be a better balance between bringing women back from the past and NXT. I don't think you want it too lopsided, because they're going to have to fill about 11, 12 spots, you figure. So, 5 and 6, I think, would be the better balance versus 9 and 2.
Yeah, I would agree definitely. Slightly off topic, but I've just got my fingers crossed that they call Beth Phoenix's name and have her put those headsets down and come out there.
It wouldn't be the first time someone at the announce desk joined a Royal Rumble match.
It wasn't Michael Cole. It wasn't JR. Who was it? I remember this. It wasn't CM Punk.
Well, Lawler did it. JBL did it as well.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. Lawler. I remember seeing Lawler do it. I think that they've kind of put themselves in this corner. You know, they've announced a big women's match, but they just don't have enough women on the roster to make this happen.
The last thing I want to touch on before we go to the phones, Candice LeRae, Ricochet, War Machine, some of the bigger names that are in the latest class of the Performance Center. Where do you see them fitting into NXT? Because all 4 of them could be on NXT to get the next set of tapings. I mean, they're that polished. These are not folks who have to go through the NXT finishing school or anything like that. They're ready. They're TV ready right now. So if they were brought to NXT TV, you know, next month or whatever the next tapings are, where do you see them fitting in over the next few months?
Candice LeRae, I'm really excited for. You know, what I could see her being immediately put into a credible, you know, get a couple wins over Billie Kay and Peyton Royce, and then do something with her, maybe a feud with Lacey Evans, although I know Lacey Evans right now, I have a feeling that Lacey Evans is going to end up in a feud with Nikki Cross. That's just a gut suspicion based on what I saw at a house show a couple weeks ago. But, yeah, I mean, you could do Candice LeRae versus Lacey Evans, or Candice LeRae versus, you know, maybe Nikki Cross, you know, one of those. I think she could definitely come in and immediately start making an impact in NXT. War Machine, I'm not very familiar with them as a team. I know that the NXT tag team roster right now is stout enough where they now have a true, you know, 2-tier level of, you know, tag teams in NXT, which hasn't been the case for a while. But, you know, you've got the Heavy Machinery, Tino Sabatelli and Riddick Moss and Street Profits, you know, that kind of undercard. And then you've got the upper card of Authors of Pain, Undisputed Era, and a couple others. So War Machine has, you know, and of course the return of TM61. So War Machine has plenty of opportunities to come in and be successful. I think Ricochet is just going to be fighting a stacked roster, you know, a really packed men's roster, unless what they do is start clearing some folks out. You know, they do have to kind of, you know, make a decision what they're going to do with Roderick Strong. I think that, you know, Johnny Gargano has been there long enough, but obviously they want to keep him around for a feud with Ciampa and have something happen at WrestleMania for that. Aleister Black has to move on. He's just too good already. So I think that they clear out some of that dead. So not, I don't want to call them deadwood because they're all productive, useful, contributing members of the roster. But if they start clearing out that upper card a bit, Ricochet could definitely come right on in. Have him retire somebody at the next takeover.
All right, yeah, that's a good point, Ricochet. You know, he's going to come in here, and especially when Drew McIntyre gets healthy, that top of the card is going to be really interesting to see how everybody slots in. Let's go to the phones now to the 412 area code. 412, you are on Wrestling Night in America. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, what's up, Gray? Can you hear me? I'm sorry.
I got you. Your name and where you're calling from.
Can you hear me?
I've got you. Yep.
Oh, I'm sorry, man. Hey, so how about the Philadelphia Eagles? Do you think Wade and Jason are going to be okay tomorrow after the ass whooping that the Vikings took tonight?
Unfortunately, I'm not watching the game, so I can't tell how bad the whooping is, but. I think the Eagles were. Well, it's a spoiler for me. I'm sure everybody else listening is probably watching the game and listening here. But I think the Eagles were favored. So hopefully Wade and Jason and the Vikings fans, you know, they were probably.
No, the Vikings
were more like me.
The Vikings were favored, man. The Vikings were favored in Vegas.
Really? That's crazy. Philly at home? I would have guessed that they would have been favored. Oh, I guess that shows how closely I attention to the Lions, but no, I would have guessed the Eagles would have won in Philadelphia with the way they've been playing. I don't know. We'll have to see the Wade Keller hotline. The next time that goes out for VIP members of PWTorch.com, I'm sure Wade will have something to say about that.
Right. Well, my condolences to Wade and Jason being from Minnesota and everything. I mean, I'm from Pittsburgh, so, you know, the Steelers lost last week, but anyway, you know.
So I shouldn't mention my Jaguars fandom then. I'll move on from that.
You're a Jaguar fan?
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, damn. Well, I was rooting for the Jaguars today over the Patriots, but, you know. You know. I know, man. Well, hey, on to the Rumble. We're going to talk some Royal Rumble. Next week it's in Philly, so that crowd is going to be hot. That crowd is going to be hot. It's in Philly. It's the week going into the Super Bowl. Philly's going to the Super Bowl now, so that's going to be interesting. How do you see it playing out? I don't want to talk about the Women's Royal Rumble because, I mean, we have no clue how that's going to go. As far as the guys, you know, do you see maybe going the Nakamura route to go versus AJ at Mania? Are they going to go there? Any type of... I think that would probably be the best way. Are we going to come with a surprise? What do you think, man? I just want to hear your opinion on the whole matter. We can go from there.
Yeah, I don't think there's a lot of options, in my opinion. I think you've got Nakamura on the SmackDown side who could win it. Certainly Randy Orton is kind of a break glass in case of emergency kind of guy. Well, I know, but you know he's got the credibility, and he's seen by a lot of the casual fans as a main event lifer. So I think somebody you got to take into consideration. Looking at the Raw side, Roman Reigns, I think it begins and ends there, unfortunately. So to me,
would you
can chime
Reigns
in on
win
this.
Philly again, though?
Well, yeah, that's the risk. But this has been the long-term plan from WWE and Vince McMahon. So, I mean, this is – you got to keep that in mind, too. Justin, you know, we talk about the Royal Rumble and how every year there's only a limited number of guys that we believe can actually win it. You know, is there ever really a case you could make for a true underdog winning the match and either going on to WrestleMania and wrestling wrestling for a title match, maybe not in the main event of the show, or maybe somehow losing that stipulation somewhere between now and WrestleMania?
They would have to show a discipline in booking and storytelling that I don't think they have right now. Maybe you could have either, you know, a true surprise returning star, right? Like when John Cena came back, you could have a true surprise returning star. I don't know, CM Punk, right? Get it? Mm-hmm. And then you could do some huge business, right? CM Punk winning at the Rumble. And I know that's never going to happen, right? So I'm not dumb. That's not going to happen anytime soon. But somebody like that, you know, just one of those huge, huge names that everyone had all the. Daniel Bryan would be huge, but I think honestly, I do think that we will see Daniel Bryan
about that, and I think that's maybe finished, like us all hoping and wishing and praying, but will it really happen? You know,
I think we will see Daniel Bryan back in the WWE ring, but I think it's going to be against Shane McMahon.
I talked about Bryan winning the Rumble at the beginning of the show, and I previewed the Rumble, and you know, I just think that's a long shot. Look, he would get the biggest pop of anyone in Philadelphia, you know. But it would be a little odd from a storyline point of view to do that. Like I'm wondering how you would be able to explain that in the storyline that they're going with. It would seem to be a detour away from the story that they're currently telling. So you know, something to keep in the back of mind.
Unless you had Shane enter too.
Yeah, you know, that depending on what happens Tuesday night, you know, we still got an episode of SmackDown before the Royal Rumble, so things could change this week.
You could have Shane and Brian basically say, hey, look, let's settle this. I'll see you at the Rumble in the ring, in the Rumble. You could do that. Or you could have one of them shoot, you know, force their way into the match, and the other one basically snatch somebody else's number out of their hand and say, I'm the commissioner. I'm going in. And That would actually be, in my mind, fairly compelling. As because you know, I think I may be in the minority here, but the Shane and Daniel Bryan storyline has actually caught my interest because you don't really know who's the heel, and you don't really know, you know, that they both have legitimate babyface and heel points here. In terms of the Rumble, yeah, I mean, could you get an underdog in there? Sure. But, you know, WWE hasn't shown the discipline to book a true underdog babyface. They haven't shown the ability to book themselves a Sami Zayn or a Johnny Gargano properly. And that's what you would need to have, is you would need to have that Johnny Gargano, Sami Zayn style character, somebody who's undersized, shows the heart, almost wins the matches, almost wins the title a number of times, gets in the Rumble, goes to Mania, and takes it all the way, and they don't have it in them to do this. So,
caller, sorry, I didn't get your name, but you have another question for us.
Oh, no, it's okay. It's Dino Velvet. Whenever you say that, too, and the way I look at it is I go back to pulling out the old DVDs and going on the network and watching the old Rumbles, because you have an emotional investment like Austin or Flair in 92. I know we always bring that one up, you know, everyone. And because now, like, there's nothing in this Rumble where I go, okay, I really want this person to win, because there's no storyline based up to the point where you go, oh my God, I got to see this person win. And I really hope they do. Hence a couple years ago when we all wanted Brian to win, you know? And then it didn't happen, and everyone went up in arms. But do you understand what I'm saying? Because there's nothing going on in this Rumble yet where you go, oh, I got to see this. I got to see this. And if it doesn't happen, then you get heat, and that's great, and it leads into something. But right now, I just don't know where they're going, what's happening.
I mean, and I don't know if this would qualify. I don't know if this would qualify. Braun Strowman, I think, would be a guy, if he were in the Rumble, that, that people would kind of get excited about seeing win. Now, he's in the triple threat match for the title, and it
right,
varies year to year, but historically...
Lesnar should retain. I mean, is Kane going to win? Like, come on, why is he even in that? Why in 2018 is Kane in the championship match at the Royal Rumble?
Kane,
why
Kane
is that
in there? Kane is in there to take the loss. But, you know, I'm saying when Strowman, if he's in the Rumble, I think that people would be excited for that, and they would want to – that he would be a guy that they would cheer on to win. But because a lot of the undercard guys, undercard wrestlers who are wrestling on the undercard of the Rumble pay-per-view, and those in title matches on the show are generally not put in the Rumble match, that's taking Strowman out, and that's taking the one guy that fans have really gotten behind
right.
this year from a grassroots level – and they're taking him out of the Rumble, putting him in the title match somewhat unnecessarily, and that leaves a big hole in the Rumble match, a guy that fans would really get behind. And like you said, there really doesn't seem to be that guy that people are excited about seeing possibly win it.
Right. Right, that's my point. I mean, because when you look at the Royal Rumble match, and as wrestling fans now, it's evolved so much where we all watch matches and go, okay, we're looking for that 4-star match, that 5-star match. But the Rumble match has none of that. The Rumble match is always pretty poor. I mean, you have guys taking rest, throwing people over, people taking rest in the corner. So it's not like it's this great match, but the point of the Rumble match is to get emotionally invested in someone in that match that you want to win, right?
In a high-stakes match like that, yeah.
Right. So if you don't have that person, then why are we watching it? So you have to build up a storyline in order to have multiple people where I think this person can win, and you have multiple individuals where you want them to win, and why do they want to win? They need to tell a story why they want to win. Why? And how are they going to? And the journey. I mean, you know, that's cliche, I think, but I mean, Wade talks about it all the time. But why do you want to win this match? And I don't think we're at that point with this Rumble right now.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think that's true. Anything else for us tonight?
No, that's okay. I'm going on. I'm venting. I haven't watched Raw or SmackDown in weeks. I look at the recaps. I read you guys, and I go on the podcast and everything there because I don't even watch it anymore. And I think I've been watching wrestling since the 80s. And
yeah,
the reason why I don't anymore is because I think it is so bad right now. I think it's the worst it's ever been since probably like 93, 94, like the dog days of it. And I think they need to really do something big here within the next couple of months, year or so. It's bad. It's really bad right now. I love talking about it. And I can go on for hours,
yeah.
But you know what I mean? It's really bad right now. It's really bad right now. There's just no reason to watch. Raw is just an infomercial. It's the McMahon family running a wrestling show. And
we appreciate your listenership, and we appreciate you calling, even though you're not really pleased with the product. So. You know, we appreciate
jaded,
that, sir.
Yeah, I'm jaded. All right, Greg. Yeah,
that's
I'll
good work.
I'll keep on listening, and I apologize for my vent. Hey, take care, guys, and I'll keep on listening.
Carl, thanks a lot. Justin, as we wrap up here, plug PWT Talks NXT for us.
Yep, every Wednesday, immediately after NXT plays, myself and three other gentlemen, we rotate. We have a cast of three typically on the air, and we take turns taking off. We record PWT Talks NXT, where we cover usually recap our favorite highlights from the show and then review a topic such as who's the rising star or who do we expect to get called up. Harley Pajot has brought to us a number of incredibly interesting statistics. It's a very fun part of our show where we discuss statistics and he quizzes us. And we just have a lot of NXT content going on there. Shows are typically 60 to 70 minutes long, so it's about the length of an NXT episode. If you can take the time to check that out, we would appreciate it.
Sure, absolutely. Sounds good. That's Wednesdays after NXT TV on the WWE Network. Justin, thanks for joining me tonight and talking NXT and TakeOver Philadelphia.
Thanks for having me here, Greg. Always a pleasure being with you. Take care.
Take care, and take care to all of you listening at home. We'll be back after the Royal Rumble next Sunday, January 28th, to take your calls on that event. I appreciate you guys listening and calling in on Wrestling Night in America tonight. I'm PW Torch columnist Greg Parks. We'll talk to you next week. And if you're not VIP and thinking about going VIP, check this out.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, I invite you to get even more of what the Torch offers by becoming a PW Torch VIP member. Not only do you get ad-free access to our website, the mobile site, and the desktop site, and access to about 30 years of our archives, including over 1,500 back issues and thousands upon thousands of hours of our audio shows going back to 2004, plus tons of retro radio shows from the 1990s. But you also get over 15 VIP exclusive podcasts per week, in addition to ad-free editions of these PW Torch livecasts throughout the week. So we take the ads out of the PW Torch livecast for VIP members and then give you over 15 other podcasts per week, including what started it all, the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show. I host that with Bruce every weekend, and we spend a couple hours talking about the biggest stories of professional wrestling and wrestling history. It's one of the longest-running weekly pro wrestling podcasts on any subject, and it's one of the main reasons people go VIP and stay VIP. Another is The Fix with Todd Martin. I host that every midweek with Todd, and we get Todd's expertise and opinions every midweek on current events in professional wrestling, not just WWE, but all promotions worldwide, including New Japan. Plus, we end every show with some expert MMA talk from the LA Times columnist and SureDog contributor, Todd Martin. And there's so much more. The Every Single Day Weight Cutter Hotline with news updates every single day, Monday through Friday. And every Saturday and Sunday, I do the SE Editor format of the Weight Cutter Hotline, where I answer VIP member questions in depth. And there's so much more. There's the Wayback Playback with Pat McNeil and Jim Valley, Wrestling Audio Community with Sean Radican, the WWE Future Pass Show with scouting reports on prospects and a look back at the indie career of current stars, the PW Torch East Coast Cast Extended VIP Edition, the retro radio shows. Every Thursday, a new retro radio show from the 90s drops, from the early 90s or the Attitude Era. And last but not least, my in-depth Raw and SmackDown reports. You can get a full chronological rundown of every episode of Raw and SmackDown with my analysis of the show in-depth every Monday night and Tuesday night. So check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. We give you a lot here at the livecast, but there is so much more. The vast majority of our work is for our VIP members, and you can become one today. Go check out details on a subscription at pwtorch.com/govip.
Yeah.